Next on Gospel of Life, learn how to avoid the Election Day traps. Reverend Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and the national elections are only a matter of days away.
That's right. And this has been, I think, the longest election cycle. You know, it seems like for 2 years we've been talking about the candidates in this election, but now this is the final moment in these last few days where every vote is going to count. And that's where some people get hung up. They kind of sit back and say, well, you know, I'm so disgusted and my vote really isn't going to much matter. And what I want to tell people is, no, we can draw lessons from history. And I'd like to read some examples, Father, that really show how one vote really counted.
Yes, it certainly does.
So, for example, a shift of less than one vote per precinct in a handful of states would have defeated Woodrow Wilson in his bid for reelection in 1916. Also, way back in 1945 in the U.S. Congress, Texas became a state by just one vote. Also, in 1923, one vote for the German parliament gave Hitler leadership of the Nazi Party. Imagine that. One vote put Hitler in power. And there's other examples. So, for example, a few votes per precinct in Illinois and a couple of other states, and then Vice President Richard Nixon would have defeated John F. Kennedy in 1960. The same is true in elections at every level. In 1974, Congressman Lewis Wyman was declared the victor in the U.S. Senate race in New Hampshire after a recount by just two votes. So you see, Father, there's a lot of examples here where that one or two votes swung whether this person got in or that person got in.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, in the elections of 2000 for the presidency, President Bush won because 537 people in the state of Florida voted for him.
That's right.
I mean, that's the size of, you know, one congregation at a parish church in many instances. So this is really true. And one of the election day traps, as we call them, is to think that, oh, I only have one vote, and that the one vote is more important than you may think it is.
That's right. And of course, another trap is, well, you know, I don't really like any of the candidates this year, so I'm just going to sit this one out. They're all no good.
Well, the fact that you might not like them does not absolve you of your responsibility to elect somebody. That's the point. If we're left with unsatisfactory choices, we are also still left with the responsibility to get the best possible person into office. The best possible person might not be the person we like, but that's beside the point. We got to do the best we can.
That's right. I mean, we're not declaring by our vote that we're saying that this is a perfect candidate. I mean, there is no such thing as a perfect candidate, but there certainly are. One candidate will stand more up for the value voters' issues.
You mean to say Jesus and St. Paul, they're not on the ballot?
No, they're not on the ballot.
I thought I saw their names on the ballot.
No, no Jesus, no St. Paul.
Well, we got to deal with the imperfect then.
That's right. And, of course, you know, people say, you know, you can't be a single-issue voter, but you are single-issue voters because it's one issue that really encourages or excites people to go and vote. So, for example, for we who are fighting for the life of the unborn, we're excited about following and voting for the candidates that are pro-life, that will advance the cause of life.
Yeah, you know, that's right. If you ask anybody across the country, around the world, who's involved politically, now I don't mean just as a politician, although I'm including them, but also just highly involved in civic life, ask them how they got involved and tell me if you don't find in each case that it was one issue of one kind or another that motivated the person to get involved. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the reality of life.
That's right. And clearly, like in this election, there are some people who are like us. The right to life is the primary issue, and we're going to go out and we're going to vote for those candidates. There's those people who want to protect marriage, which is some of the same value voters, and they're going to pay attention to that. Other people will vote based on other things. But there is always an issue that drives everyone to the polls.
Natural.
That's right.
The election day traps. Now, as we talk about these things, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that at gospelof.com we have a link to an article called Avoid the Election Day Traps. I'd like you to invite you to go to that today, to download it, to share it with other people on your email list, to link to it from your website, to share it on YouTube and Facebook and MySpace. This is a way that we can encourage people in these final days before the election to really participate, not only by casting their own vote, but by influencing as many other people as possible to vote. What are some of these other traps?
Well, another trap is paying too much attention to what the media is saying about the election, in particular on election day.
Oh, this is very important.
Now, we know, like on the East Coast time zone, those polls close first. And what happens is the media starts declaring this state went for this candidate, this state went for that candidate. And then they start, which is a big mistake, declaring, oh, it looks like so-and-so is going to win. Now, what that does is it discourages people all the way out on the West Coast, maybe from not even bothering to show up. What we have to say is ignore what the media is saying and regardless, show up and vote, because we know from the last election, they were declaring early on the East Coast that, oh, it looks like John Kerry is going to win this election.
Oh, yes. Well, all that afternoon, you know, as I was speaking to people, they say, oh, you know, it looks like Kerry is going to win. Well, in fact, he didn't. And the where the polls are going and where the media says the polls are going really should not be given all that much attention at all. We've got to focus right up until the very last opportunity on Election Day on getting as many people out to vote, no matter what any reports or any polls say, because polls can be misleading. For example, if you're counting just what people think about the candidate versus are they registered voters? Are they likely voters? You know, what I find is that when you find polls that say X number of percentages for this candidate, Y percentage for this candidate, they don't tell you who they're polling. Are they polling registered voters?
Right.
Are they polling likely voters? Are they polling voters in key states that swing the election? Who are they asking? We have to be very, very, very focused, and that is on voting ourselves and then getting influencing as many other people as we can.
Well, you know, of course, another trap people fall into is on election day, they get up that morning and they say, oh, I'll wait till vote later, you know, after work. And what I'm saying is don't do that. When you get up that morning on election day, if you haven't done early voting, then please get up a little extra early, go to vote before work, because you don't know what's going to happen later in the day. Anything can happen.
And for that very same reason, those states that have the polls open today by early voting, people should take advantage of that and vote today.
That's right.
But a lot of things can get in the way, as you were saying. Sickness, car trouble.
That's right.
Bad weather.
Or your boss can insist that you work overtime and then the polls will close and you won't get there. So it's very important to either early vote or vote that morning before you go to work.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this weekend is the 72-hour push.
Right.
This is very important. The final few days before the elections, the campaigns need help. Various political action committees need help. Various C4 organizations need help to distribute literature,
right,
to make phone calls, to go door to door in some instances, to drive people to the polls, to do poll watching at the polling places. There are a lot of different activities that this weekend make all the difference. And so we want to urge our people to get involved in those activities. Check with the party of the candidate of your choice. Check with your local pro-life groups and other kinds of organizations. Check with your county board of elections. Find out where the help is needed and devote some time, devote the whole weekend to doing this kind of activity.
That's right. And it's very simple activity. Like if they give you a stack of what they call voter's guides or pamphlets for the candidates, it's very simple to go out and leaflet. You know, you can start, go door to door with your own neighbors. I know someone in a particular county that helped sway an election because they got out teams of people, friends, and said, you know what, we're going to cover our community block by block, and we're going to just go to our neighbor's door, ring their bell, and give them this flyer. And they really helped sway that one election right within their county.
That's how it works. Well, friends, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk about more of the election day traps that we want you to avoid and the things you can do in the next few days for our elections. So please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. Janet Morana and I are talking about Election Day traps and how to avoid them. Janet, what are some of the things we have to be attentive to?
Well, the other thing is to assist people who need to get to the polls. You know, very often you'll run and get, you know, you'll vote, and then you go home and you say, okay, all finished. But what we're asking you to do is call your other friends and neighbors and see who else didn't get to the polls. You know, just because maybe you're zeroed in on this election and you voted doesn't mean everyone, your neighbors, your friends, like-minded voters like yourself are paying attention or have a way of getting to the polls. So make those phone calls and offer to drive people, even like you said, Father, even if you have to take the day off from work and shuttle people back and forth to the voting booth. You need to do that because this is, like I said, is going to be a very close election, and we need every Christian value voter to show up and vote for the cause of life.
There are various other mental traps that we can fall into that we should avoid. You know, a lot of times there's a psychological warfare in these last few days where, you know, the different campaigns and the different interest groups try to make people think, oh, well, you know, we have the advantage or this other person has the advantage. And we were talking about that before in terms of the polling, but it's done in other ways, too, just in terms of comments, or sometimes people talk about who has more money. Well, you know, it's not money that really elects a person. It's the actual people who decide to vote for that individual. But what are some of the other Election Day traps?
Well, another thing is that, you know, people say, oh, we can't put our trust in these people, and we're just going to trust in God and pray, and that's going to take care of it all.
And so they don't participate in the election.
That's right. You know, they say, well, you know, I pray every day and I read my Bible and I'm going to trust that the Lord will, you know, straighten things out for this country. It's such a big mess anyway that I'm not going to even get involved. And that's wrong because God counts on us to do what we know. He gives us free will and he expects us to do our Christian duty and vote to change the world, to help transform it. You know, he's not just sitting up there like a God who's pushing buttons, you know. He's allowing us with our free will to change the
government. And that is God saving the nation. In other words, God, of course God saves us. He's our ultimate salvation, not politics. But the question is how? How does he save us? By filling us with his spirit and sending us into the battle. And the battle includes the voting booth. We have to be there.
That's right. Well, you know, there are so many different traps, but I think the most important thing is to remember is that we should not use the election to take out our anger, say a particular problem or thing. Like, for example, like right now, I know people are very furious, let's say, about the price of gas. And other people are furious because people are losing their homes and their mortgages and the financial condition of the country. And so they're using that anger to just say, you know what? Forget it all. I'm not going to vote because this is such a big mess. Or they're just going to vote for the candidate that's claiming to make all these problems go away, which is not necessarily true.
You have to give it a little more thought, in other words.
Right.
You can't have
a
knee-jerk reaction.
That's right. And too often that is the reaction. You know, like, you know, where I live in the East Coast, yeah, gas is pretty high, but that problem just didn't surface overnight, and it's not one particular candidate's fault that suddenly this is the price. We have to stick to the fundamental issues, which is for the abortion issue as primary, and look at the candidates based on that, and not use the price of gas or houses and this and that as a reason to just opt out of this election or get disgusted.
Sometimes if people need to take out their anger, the voting booth is not the place to do it.
That's right.
A punching bag, go in the middle of a field and scream. But the reason for your vote should be a reason that is thought through, prayed through, takes all considerations into account, and it is done in a thoughtful way.
Right.
And you're really trying to elect the best possible person. But the idea you're going to punish a person or punish a party, you know, because somebody maybe fell into scandal. And meanwhile, what you might be punishing the unborn child, for example.
That's right.
They continue to die by the millions unless we start electing people who are going to defend their right to life.
And people don't realize that in this election, we're not talking about what the candidate's going to do over the next 4 years. This next candidate who is elected president is going to affect what can happen in this country, not just the four, but the next 40 years because of the Supreme Court and federal judges that are at stake. And so people really have to understand that sitting it out or taking this anger is not just the next four, it's the next 40. But then, you know, Father, another trap is when people go and vote on Election Day, then they think, okay, they wipe their hands and say, my job is done until next time, you know, until the next big election. And they don't understand that, no, from the day after election, your job continues to engage these new candidates, to be involved with your representative. Like if you have elected a candidate who says they're going to try to protect the unborn, well, hold their feet to the fire. Pay attention to where they stand. Be in communication with your candidate, especially at the home office and the local state level. You know, your job does not end when you cast that vote. It continues all year long. You have to stay on top of the issue to make sure that our values are respected all year long in the types of laws and bills that are proposed.
The election-related activity turns into the lobbying activity.
That's right.
And you know, exactly. Well, friends, politicalresponsibility.com is your website, especially for the next few days. Important information there that you need to get into the hands of your fellow citizens. And again, contact the campaigns. Now, the lawn signs should be up, the yard signs, right, Janet?
That's right.
The bumper stickers, the pins and the buttons, and the supporting the candidate of your choice. And again, now for those of you who are pastors, if people this weekend are handing out literature in the church parking lots, leave them alone. Don't try to chase them away. Let them just communicate with their fellow citizens. It's not going to get you in trouble, because if it's not an activity or expenditure of the church, the IRS couldn't care less. It's the activities and expenditures of the church that are regulated in terms of political intervention. But if somebody else is coming in distributing these flyers, you know, our fellow citizens, our parishioners are trying to do their best to activate other citizens in this process. Leave them alone and let them do it. And then, of course, communicate with the campaigns and with the other groups in your area to see how you are needed in these final days. And get on that email list, get on that telephone, remind people to vote, make a pest of yourself. Take time off from work between now and the election, the end of election day, to really use every moment in the best possible way to activate other voters. And with the world of internet technology, this is easier than ever before to reach multitudes of people, right?
That's right. And let's make this weekend not get kicked out of the church parking lot weekend, but let's leaflet the church parking lot weekend.
And finally, no matter what the outcome of the election, we should not be overconfident by a good outcome, nor dejected by a bad outcome, because in the midst of all of this, this is an ongoing task to build the kingdom of God. And the Lord is accomplishing that task through us. We'll be right back.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. We want to continue to give you ideas today about what to do to influence our national elections in these final days. And Janet, this is so critical because it really is now in the hands of every voter to influence as many other voters as possible.
That's right. And, you know, let's not forget that this election is not just about the next 4 years. You know, I know a lot of people are concerned about a lot of issues, but what is at stake is our country is literally at a crossroads. And this is about the next 40 years because the next president and the people we elect to Congress, and especially the Senate, are going to have the influence as to the kind of judges that will get nominated for the Supreme Court and federal court positions. And this can impact all Christians, and for all of our Christian values that are important to us, from abortion to euthanasia to marriage and family values. So it's imperative that everyone get out to vote. It's a numbers game, really. It's two teams, and whichever team gets the most people to the polls is the team that's going to win. And that's why we need everyone who's watching right now to join us in going down. Like I tell people, go down your Christmas card list. Send everyone a phone call or an email or a text message and remind them of Election Day and to get out and vote.
Text messaging is important. You know, making a pest of yourself, really, in the name of Christ
That's right.
What we're advocating here. You know, you get up in the morning. If your state has early voting, and again, on our website, politicalresponsibility.com, it shows the states that where the polls are open even now, or otherwise on Election Day itself. You get on the phone, you get on your email, you contact, let's say, your friend Joe, okay? Hey, Joe, did you vote today? Remember, today's election day. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to vote. Okay, thanks for the reminder. Then later on, you call him again.
Joe, did you get there?
Did you get there?
Right.
You know, oh, yeah, I cast my vote, or, oh, no, I didn't get there yet. Well, you need a ride? You know,
that's
I mean,
right.
You really, literally, I mean, if this is a person that, you know, you have some relationship with, do it. Really get them there. Offer yourself to drive people, take the day off from work altogether on Election Day, and really just devote all your energy to increasing the number of votes for the candidate of your choice.
That's right. And don't forget, you know, when you go to church services this weekend, talk among your church friends and family, especially, you know, after services, they have that gathering time. Talk about the election.
You know, there are a lot of people that don't even start thinking about the elections or who they're going to vote for until these days that we're
That's
in right,
right
now. So it's critically important.
That's right. And, you know, you're a private citizen, and you can endorse those good pro-life candidates and shout it from the rooftops. Tell people who you're going to vote for
and why. Right.
You know, so every vote is really going to count. We're in that critical stage, and we just need everyone to do everything they can in their power because, you know, you don't want to wake up the day after Election Day, and if we do not get a good result, you just sit back and say, well, maybe I should have done this, or maybe I should have called so-and-so.
Well,
no.
Should have is now.
Should have is now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Janet. Brothers and sisters, I want to make a personal appeal to you. Do not sit out the election. Do not slack off. Do not think that this is not your responsibility. If you don't like all the different choices that you have for the candidates, you're still responsible for the outcome. And so we have to vote in a way that's going to bring the best possible outcome. I am making a personal direct plea to you. Use your influence. It is Jesus himself, through his Spirit, working through you, stirring your mind, your heart, giving you the energy you need to influence as many people as possible in these next few days. Please, let's do it together. Well, we thank you for joining us on Gospel of Life. We ask you to tell others about this program. We ask you to support our ministry because we rely on your financial help to create these programs, to get the pro-life message out across America. And at gospeloflife.com, you'll be able to donate to us online. We invite you to do so. And make gospeloflife.com one of your bookmarked web pages so that you can frequently come and see the various updates we have in this ministry. Keep in touch with us. We love to hear from you and be assured of our prayers.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.